Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Of course, I used King James on that one, not the ESV. This is a quote from Psalm 8, verse 4. And I'd like you to read it where it is in context. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants. Sound familiar? How many times have we said that? You have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Adam yawns here. Okay, I want to make sure. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. Now, God's creation is beautiful, isn't it? It's huge. You know, they have said that we can actually see 5,000 stars to the naked eye. But yet we know there's over a billion universes, or a billion galaxies, and that means there has to be myriad trillions of stars. But yet we can see 5,000. So what are we that God cares about us? Aren't we just insignificant? Yeah. Let's flip that question around. Why is God important to us? Well, I'm going to ask you, why is God important to us? Well, he created us, so he's a creator. So is that the only reason he's important to us? Say it again.
For our salvation.
For our salvation. Why else? He forgives our sins.
I got your shoe on
first. Makes us feel loved. All right, here's some of the ideas I put down. Food, clothing, housing, wealth, peace, posterity, proof, eternal life. No, that's just ideas when I was sitting there trying to figure out. So, flip it around. If you know, God is important to us, and why are we important to God? I think Betty was on the track when she said, he's the creator, we're his creation. The scripture tells us that he made man just under the angels. But what does man have that the angels do not? Free will. Okay? Free will to serve God, or free will to not serve God. And that ability means that we can serve God without any worries. Now, when I witness to people, especially at Walmart, you know, this thing, I talk to people. How can God care about me? I don't know, how can he? And that's what I usually do. I turn around and give it back to them. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit in your life? How do you know? Because you can see, you feel it in your heart. One of the things I've shared with you many times about the frustrations I had in Texas. But I have a real good friend, Pastor Dave Kerr. And Dave is the guy who does intentional interim ministries for the LCMS, LCMC, ELCA, and NALC. Well, you know, there's times when we can all get together, can't we? But he said something to me. He said, the Holy Spirit puts you places so that you're ready for your next call. And I really thought about that for a minute. Okay? When you can see that God is closing doors and closing windows, but yet another door and window opens up over here, he's telling you, go that way, isn't he? Okay? When Peggy and I decided that we were going to leave Texas,
I get on the website for the LCMC, and guess what was on there? Our Savior's Lutheran Church, Port Charlotte, Florida. I called Dean. What was it, the first day or second day it had been on? Okay. And I was here, what, 3 weeks later for my interview, and then I was called to the church. You think the Holy Spirit has some influence on that?
Yes.
Of course it does. You know, and the thing is, each one of you can witness to something like that. Okay? Because it's in your heart. And He leads you places. So, yeah, God cares about us. But how does He care for us? He sends us the Holy Spirit. Now, in a minute, we're going to say the Creed, the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed, in fact, pull it up, it's right over here. I want you to take a look at this. We have talked about this in our Bible studies. If you notice, there's three paragraphs there, aren't they? Why? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, so when you look at that, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, each part of that has got a section. Now, look at the Son. Now, look at the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Why is that under the Holy Spirit and not under Jesus? Because the Holy Spirit is with us. Isn't that interesting? Our relationship is with Jesus, but yet our daily relationship is with the Holy Spirit. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Because God cares for us. After our Bible study, excuse me just a second, I'm going to get that stool here for a minute. Yeah, I'm going to sit down on the job. Maybe. Ouch. I've got my finger caught in it. Ouch. Okay. Dean said something to me after Bible study on Wednesday. And you said that he was going to share it, but we ran out of time. To God, time, past, present, and future, is with God. So with God, our concept of time is linear. We have the past, we have the present, the future. With God, there's no separation that way. Okay? God is, and time is for God. Now here's the thing. We have found that time is not a constant for us either. In fact, I just saw a thing on this on the Science Channel the other night. They have found that when they have clocks up in the space station, run faster than the clocks down here. Time runs faster, proven scientifically, in space than it does on Earth. Well, how can that be? Because time is the same, isn't it? No, it's not. Time is not a constant. So when we find things like that, it makes more sense that time is for God. And you notice I'm not saying time is past, present, or future. It just is. He can look at anything in time at any time. So creation and the end of the universe are just as real for God. It's not something He has to worry about. It's right there. And that's one of those things. The more and more we look at God, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You understand it? I don't. And that's the thing. Whenever you see me do this, okay? For those of you who've been in the military, it's above my pay grade. Okay? I just got it. They accept it. Okay? Because it's a God thing. I don't understand God. What's the third article of the Creed? I cannot by my own reason or strength know my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. but I have been called by the gospel and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a second. We have all been called by the gospel, and we are led by the Holy Spirit. And if you notice, it talks about sanctification in our reading. Sanctification comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's right there. It's telling us that. When Jesus died on that cross, when he paid the ransom for all of us, remember to redeem. How many of you used to have those S&H green stamps? What are we going back, 60 years? Okay, how did you used to do it? Well, you went to the store and you redeemed the stamps, right? Okay, what does it mean to redeem? Well, you got to pay for something. Okay, you either pay it with money or you pay it with the stamps, but you got to pay for something. And remember, redemption, we talk about Jesus being the Redeemer, means he paid for something. And what did he pay for? Our sins. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Were we important enough to Jesus that he came and paid the ultimate price for us? Yeah, I think so. Well, who else notices this? Well, what does the gospel teach us about that? And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician." Well, what is church? Is it a private club, or is it a hospital for sinners? Hospital for sinners. So when we have somebody that's a sinner, come on in. This is the right place for you. But yet, how many times have you been in a church? Well, they're not our kind of people. They're not the right kind of people. Would you like to be in a church that says that? I don't think so. You know, when you got a sinner at the door, say, "Y'all come. You know, this is the place to be." Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners. That's us, isn't it? Okay. And that's all of us here. You know, one of the things that I've always considered myself is the CSIC. Some of you know what I'm going to say. The Chief Sinner in Charge. Folks, pastor's a sinner. Every single one of us is a sinner. But because of Jesus Christ, we know those sins are justified and forgiven. And remember, justification is what? Forgiveness of sins. Propitiation was in our reading today. By the way, you did a very nice job with that. Yes, you did. What is propitiation? It is. To atone for what we've done wrong. How do we atone for what we've done wrong? Ask for forgiveness. Can we do any works to make up for what we've done? No. Although some people would argue about that. Oh, you've got to do that, otherwise God's mad at you. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. We're studying 1 Clement on Wednesday morning, and we talked about this. Because Clement says that the first thing that comes to us is God's grace. What do you have to do for God's grace? Nothing. It's a gift from God, paid by Jesus on the cross. But out of grace comes what? Faith. And where do we find faith? Okay, I cannot by my own reason or faith. Faith. Know my Lord Jesus Christ, your covenant. But I have been called by the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of God's grace, faith is our gift from God because of grace. And we know about it through the scripture. You know, this kind of stuff is around you all the time, but you don't see it because you don't understand the context. Does that make sense? You know, so when we look at this, when we look at the creed that we're going to say here in a minute, it's beautiful. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Everything to God. Folks, if God can make millions and trillions of mosquitoes, he certainly can take care of us. Can he? Yeah, I do too.
All of a sudden, I got an itch.
Well, there's another place. We got the point. Anyway. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him. You know, in Hebrew, it actually is the son of man that comes for you, is what it is in Hebrew. The son of man that comes for you. Think about that for a second. Isn't that Jesus? So why did they change it in the translation? Agendas. Okay, we've talked about translations. Yet, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. God crowns us with glory and honor. He loves us so much. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He just asks us to do two things. To trust in him and to obey him. Not because we have to, but because we want to. So, if Jesus is standing right here next to us, which we know he is it hard for us to do? No. It's a blessing for us to do. Let us pray. Lord, we trust you and strive to do your will. Lord, thank you for everything, and especially for the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. My friends, may this peace that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.